Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than deciding whether or not something is a door or a beach. Joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
Tabitha.
Hello.
And Pickett.
Yes, hello.
And I'm Mitch. Lydia is out sick tonight, so we wish her the best of health and etc. I don't know.
Etc, etc.
Get well soon. Yeah. So, So door or beach? Tabitha.
Door.
Matt.
Beach.
Pickett.
Door.
My official answer is door, but when you turn that thing sideways, it looks like a beach. 100%.
It's definitely a door.
I mean, that's why I said beach. It looks more like a beach sideways than it looks like a door upright.
Yeah.
So.
It's, yeah. It looks in... And my roommate and I were discussing this yesterday or today, I don't remember which, but his rationale for why it has to be a door is because it's too perfect a beach.
Well, also, you can see the paint lines, and beaches don't have paint lines.
Oh. Joining us tonight from Hamilton County.
Wow. Okay, so we're not allowed to do this late anymore because I'm starting to sleep.
So... All right. A couple of more somber things to talk about starting off tonight. So we were kind of talking earlier this week. We couldn't not start the show without talking about what happened last Sunday in Florida. There was a tournament for it was like a Madden tournament. The competition is called the Madden Classic. Still don't know all the details about it, but long story short, there was a shooting involved, and two people are dead. Well, three people are dead. One of them is the killer, but two people are dead. Taylor Robinson, who was 28, and Elijah Clayton, who was 22, died because they were playing a game. And it's really sad that is where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, in society. Now, the CEO of Electronic Arts has announced the cancellation of three upcoming qualifying tournaments for this classic, just kind of out of respect. I mean, the suspect, he was from Maryland. He had a history of psychiatric issues. Court records showed that his parents tried to get treatment for him, but were unsuccessful. So... Really, I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time speculating a lot of things, but I mean, it is what it is, and it's an awful situation. And like I said, I mean, it's awful that this is where we're at in life.
Yeah.
So yeah. So, and also, this was kind of a sad day in comics news because we lost not one but two pretty influential people in the comics world. Gary Friedrich, who is the creator of Ghost Rider, and Marie Severin, who co-created Spider-Woman, both passed away today. So, yeah. And it's like, and with both of those characters, I mean, it's, they both have, like, kind of indelible marks, you know? It's, you know, they're both, you know, big players in the Marvel world. And so, you know, it's kind of tough that, you know, because both of those are going to be felt. So, that said, we do have a lot of other happier things to talk about today. First thing, so we did a lot of work last weekend. Pickett and I, as well as Priest from the Sleeper Hold and Notseth, went up to Rosemont for Wizard World Chicago. Yes. And it was a lot of fun. We've put up one of the interviews that we did over the weekend there, and the others are coming soon, as well as we're going to have kind of a special episode, if you will, that'll have all of those interviews back-to-back for your listening pleasure.
Awesome.
And also a special shout-out to Priest. I mean, he had not a whole lot of time to prepare, but he kind of knocked it out of the park. He hit just about every wrestler that they had there.
Oh, wow.
Not like actual hits.
I
can see where you would think that with the wrestling and the whatnot. But But yeah, I think, what, Pickett, there was only like one or two people that he didn't get or something like that?
Yeah, and one of them he wasn't all that interested in. So
you could say he pinned them down.
Stop it.
Pickett, I feel like you and I both need shame bells sometimes.
No, I would abuse that power.
He would.
And I don't.
You don't. There are times that I would lie, be shaming the crap out of people, and you're just kind of just hanging out.
Too busy rolling my eyes.
So, but yeah, so I don't want to go into too many details about our weekend. Although, Pickett.
Yeah.
Who was the best person that you met at Wizard World?
Oh my god.
That's a story for another day. So so we were only up at Rosemont on Thursday and Friday. Saturday we came back home and Tabitha and Lydia joined us at the Springfield Microcon that was at the Crown Plaza. And you know, like I had said multiple times when I was talking to people about the Microcon like coming up, because a lot of people were just kind of thinking like, oh, this isn't really going to be anything, you know. And I was like, no, I've got a good feeling about this. And even then, they exceeded my expectations. The crowd was a lot bigger than even I thought it was going to be, which also kind of proves that we need to work on our marketing skills, guys, because we've got a market.
We have nerds and geeks.
We just need to tap into that market.
Right. But awesome job to STL Comics. They put on a hell of a con, and yeah, well, one thing that that they talked about in one of the interviews that you'll listen to was that they are already talking about next year. Awesome. And you know, what they can add. This year it only ran from like 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. He's not necessarily looking to add a second day, but maybe add longer hours. You know, and I feel like, yeah. And, you know, and he even mentioned the idea of maybe also having, like, panels and whatnot. But,
excellent.
But, yeah, but, Tabitha, what did you think of the Microcon?
I agree. It was a lot larger than I had anticipated it being.
With a name like Microcon.
Yeah, exactly. there were definitely more people there than I also assumed. But when I walked in, there was actually a woman in there talking about how they had driven up from St. Louis to go. So, I mean, it brought people in from outside as well. So I think that's really cool, because I think it is something Springfield needs.
Yeah.
We're a big enough town to where we need something like this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And also, speaking of cons, let me pull it up real quick, because just today, Wizard World announced their schedule for next year. And if I can spell Wizard World, there we go. So, I do know Wizard World will be coming back to St. Louis next year in April. I believe it's April 5th through the 7th. Okay. April 5th through the 7th, 2019. And then also Chicago will be August 22nd through the 25th. I mean, unless you want to drive to Ohio. And, you know, those are really the two biggest Midwest, you know, ones from where we are. I guess Madison's not too far.
Yeah, Madison's not far.
Madison's in November. Mm-hmm. But November 30th and then December 1st and 2nd of this year.
And
so.
Nobody wants to drive to Ohio.
Yeah.
Because then you got to drive through Indiana. And that's a really boring drive. Yeah. Sorry, Indiana. Nothing personal.
Although, Cincinnati is a wonderful city. I would go back to Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati's a great city.
Yeah. Cincinnati is almost worth driving through Ohio for, or Indiana for.
Since he was so natty, they named it Cincinnati. You're welcome. I'm causing Mitch to drink, I think.
Yeah, full disclosure, guys. So for the next couple months, we're starting a little bit later, and for whatever reason, I'm like, it's drinking time. So I'm only on my first glass of wine right now, but
you're gonna have to have another one for me.
There's plenty of time left before we're done.
Right, plenty of time.
Wait, you guys are drinking over there?
I'm drinking. So there's that.
Damn it, Mitch.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm not. So, Matt, why don't you tell us about what Alex Hirsch is doing with Netflix?
So, Alex Hirsch, I'm so freaking excited about this. It's not even funny. So Alex Hirsch is the creator of Gravity Falls. He has also done voice work for Rick and Morty. He has signed a multi-year deal with Netflix. Right now, the deal says that it's to develop new series and features, primarily for their adult animated... The word they used in the article was slate, but, like, I can't think of another word, like, that would make sense for that. But other properties that would be more adult-oriented animation. So things like Rick and Morty, you know, Adult Swim type stuff. But obviously, like, knowing that he has signed this deal and knowing that they only did two seasons of Gravity Falls, there's a large contingent of people online that are just praying and hoping that maybe, like, even if it's a feature, like, he revisits Gravity Falls. But, I mean, in general, like, with a talent like that and the mind that he's got for the creation, it's a brilliant move, I think, on Netflix part. It's going to help expand that avenue for them a lot, I think.
Yeah. And that is maybe one thing that Netflix is missing is the adult, not, I don't want to say adult oriented, but, you know, right. Animation that's geared towards adults.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I guess maybe they have that with Disenchanted, which have you seen
it
yet?
I have.
I want to. I can't wait to start it, but I just haven't yet. What do you
think
about it?
Wonderful little demon cat. I love it so much.
I mean, aren't all cats demons, though?
Well, yes.
Yes.
But it is like a manifestation. Like, it's essentially, she has like a good shoulder angel and a bad shoulder devil, whatever. And the devil is the cat, and the good one is the, like, little gnome. And it's fantastic. I've watched 4 episodes, but... it's real good.
Nice.
Just make sure you can stay awake, because that's what happened. I fell asleep. Nothing against the show. I'm just old and tired.
Right. No, that'll happen. So, but yeah, I mean, like, if that is a market that Netflix can tap into and do it successfully, I mean, mm-hmm. they've done a lot of things very well. So, I'd be interested to see what's going on. Speaking of Netflix, Tabitha, you've got something about the House of Haunting Hill. Or the Haunting of Hill House.
There you go. Get your words in order.
They were all there.
The right,
they were just
house.
In the wrong order. So, the 1959 novel by Shirley Jackson is becoming a Netflix series. It's going to be a 10-part series, and it's going to be released on October 12th. We've had 2 film adaptations. The 1963, which was wonderful. And then we have the 1999 version, which was total and complete dumpster trash fire problems. It was awful. They've both been called The Haunting, though, and they've stayed pretty close to the plot of the book, but they've veered off a little bit. This one is vastly different plot-wise, but it is not one... like, the original focuses on a paranormal investigation amongst strangers in this house to see how they're all reacting to the spirits. This is actually going to focus on the family that lived there before the paranormal investigation, and, like, they've grown up and now they're going back. So Ooh. It's the same premise of, like, going back into this house that's been closed up, but it's the actual family that's going back into the house.
That's just
so,
all that much more emotion and
all the backstory.
And,
give it to me. I want it. Like, I'm super excited. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I usually read it every October. And so now I'm going to read it in September to prepare for it to be released October 12th.
Nice. Which, especially with the lack of Stranger Things.
Yes.
This is a nice it.
Filler?
Yeah.
Segway? I'm just hoping they stick.
No, not a segue. I was still just talking. The next story has nothing to do with Netflix, Stranger Things, anything. I was actually, real talk, I was going to say it would fill that hole nicely, but I didn't want to.
She didn't want me to look like this.
Yeah. I'm sure Pickett is shaking his head.
How do you know this?
We actually turned the video.
Is there a freaking camera in here?
Yeah.
The things we've seen, Pickett. The things we've seen.
Yeah, it's really
but
gross,
stop
dude.
Stop walking around my house naked.
The Geek Awakens After Show.
Oh. Sounds like an awful idea.
I'll be right back. I gotta go put some pants on. Best part about doing the show from my house. I'm just kidding.
So, Tabitha, you also got some Star Wars casting news.
I did. Dominic Monaghan is going to be in Star Wars Episode 9. Obviously, he is who played Mary Brady Buck in Lord of the Rings trilogy and Charlie Pace on Lost. We have no specifics about his role yet. He confirmed it, even though Lucasfilm nor Disney has confirmed it. But I liked the quote that he said when they asked him about it. The galaxy far, far away has had almost as much influence as the one I live in, so I am delighted to be involved.
Nice.
Awesome.
I love him as a person, as an actor, as a social media presence, as everything, so I am stoked.
Yeah. I just want him to, like, at some point, like, write on his hand, not raise ship. That's a Lost joke. I think it's Lost on you guys, because you haven't seen Lost, have you?
That's a lot. You just used the word Lost at least five too many times.
No. I mean, I got through the first five episodes.
Oh.
I watched the first episode and said, what are they, in purgatory? And then I carried on.
Pinka, did you ever see Lost?
You don't want me to answer that question.
Sorry, Mitch, you're all over to your principles.
So,
well, then I guess the rest of us will just hope for Lord of the Rings jokes, and yeah, you can hope for the Lost joke.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That or, you know, surprise, next week there's not going to be any show. I'm just going to kidnap you all until, and, like, make you binge watch the entire series, all six seasons, like, back to 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 back.
It's a lot of backs.
Can I wear pajamas?
I mean, I don't care.
Are we watching Harry Potter afterwards?
Sure.
Perfect. Deal.
We'll have a 20-minute intermission between Lost, the last episode of Lost, and the first Harry Potter movie. Let you finally go to the bathroom. Grab a bite to eat.
Can I maybe brush my teeth? I kind of like brushing my teeth a lot.
Yeah, and at that point, it'd probably be necessary.
Six seasons is a lot. Yes. How many episodes per season?
The first three or four had 24 episodes apiece. And then after the writer's strike, they cut them down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because the writers were striking because they had been writing 24 episodes of Lost per season. They were out of
it. I don't think the entire Writers Guild of America was.
They might have been.
Speaking of Star Wars Episode 9 casting news that we don't really know anything else about, Matt Smith has been cast in, quote, a key role in Episode 9. We don't know anything else besides that. Did you just say who?
I said ooh.
He said ooh.
As an,
yeah.
As an excited, not who, like, who is that?
Although, like, real talk,
I know who he is.
Yeah. Real talk, I'd really enjoy it if he just, like, played the Doctor, you know?
And, right?
He just shows up in the Star Wars universe.
Why not?
I mean, I would be confused. I'd be like, who's his name?
I mean, we know Tabitha's not a huge fan of his chin, but between Monaghan and Matt Smith, like, Episode 9 is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at Matt Smith's face that long.
Well, I mean,
I stopped watching The Crown because I kept having to look at his face. It was upsetting me.
I was about to say, if it's any consolation, I mean, if it's anything like his role in that last Terminator movie, like, it was supposed to be, and I never saw it, but if I'm not mistaken, he was supposed to have a pretty important role in that movie, but it was like he had like 5 minutes of screen time.
There are important roles in the last Terminator movie.
He was in that movie?
Well, he had an important role, but his actual interaction with that role was very downplayed.
Hmm. Well,
it's tough to explain if you haven't seen it.
I have not.
Well, we'll just leave that for another day then.
Roles that are not tough to explain. Matt, you've got some casting news for The Walking Dead.
I do. Over the last week, they have announced three pretty big additions to the season 9. I guess it's season 9, but the coming episodes of Walking Dead, which solidifies a fan theory essentially about who the next, like, bad guys are going to be, because that's the way it works. Like, they fight a bad guy, there's a little time of peace and serenity, and then they fight another bad guy. It's, you know, it just is what it is. It's cyclical. I get it. But anyway, so the three roles that they have cast are key to the Whisperers. They have cast Samantha Morton from Minority Report and Fantastic Beasts. She's going to be playing Alpha, who is the leader of the Whisperers. They have cast Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy as her number two. He goes by Beta. And that's part of it with the Whisperers. None of them have names. They just are Alpha, Beta, and then none of the rest of them are actually like referred to by name anywhere in the comics. And then Cassidy McClincy from Love, Simon is going to be playing Lydia. Now, the part that really gets to me about that casting in particular is that she is, in the comics, Carl Grimes' very significant love interest.
Well, that's going to make things awkward.
Right. I mean, he's dead. Spoiler.
What?
I mean, he's not. Yeah, I mean, he's not
even into Carl.
Yeah. Oh my god! No, stop talking.
And he's not even a zombie. Like, he is dead. Like, he's not coming back. So,
would it be any better if he was a zombie, though?
Well, he, like, made sure that he wasn't coming back as a zombie. Took care of things.
He comes back as a zombie, and, like, it turns The Walking Dead into, like, a romantic comedy TV show. Like, a rom-com.
It's Bodies. It's a terrible movie.
I think I saw half of that and realized how horrible it was and turned it off.
Book is fantastic. Movie is trash.
There's a book?
Yeah, it was a book first.
Shocking, really, actually. So, I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I don't know. I want to continue liking The Walking Dead, but just the more that this stuff goes on and the more that they do things like... I mean, it'd almost be better if they hadn't cast Lydia as a character, and then it would be like, okay, well, they're just going to skip that part of the storyline from the comics, which makes some sense now that Carl's not there. But you're going to cast her. How is she?
There's she doesn't nobody... need a man to have a plot line.
If you've read the comics, she does. Like it's like it's her, like Carl is her entire reason for leaving the Whisperers and basically turning her back on her mother, who is Alpha.
Now, let's say hypothetically, and it's obviously hypothetically because they didn't go this route, but would it have made it any different if they made minor changes to the character but kept like a lot of the same plot lines the same and gave the character's name something other than Lydia? Would it have made it better?
I guess it's possible, but in that kind of situation, I'd have to wait and see how it plays out.
Right.
Casting her as Lydia and like being very definitive about who she's playing, it makes me question the direction. If they were to change the name and then throw in some of those storyline aspects, I'd have to wait and see. I don't know. It's jumped the shark for me.
Now, one other thing, though, with with Lydia, because, and this was actually something else that I was talking with my roommate a lot about, which, fun fact, like, and you know Jeff, he doesn't, you know, claim to be, you know, he doesn't, like, turn up his nose at a lot of the things that, you know, I geek out on, but he shows up in a lot of stories on this show, is all I'm saying. Anyway, so, but we were talking, and he was saying how, you know, in the show, Carl had kind of a long-term girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's speculation that that girlfriend is going to kind of take over Carl's role in this storyline.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that.
I don't. I mean, whether or not that would work, or you know, or just make fans angry.
Everything makes everybody angry.
Right.
Truth. So. Anyway. Speaking of making people angry, I don't know how I feel about this. Tabitha, what's up with Child's Play?
Oh, goodness. So, instead of being possessed by the soul of a killer via a voodoo spell, this My Buddy doll in this new Child's Play remake is going to be defective because his programming code was hacked so that he has no limitations to learning and also violence.
What?
It gets better, slash worse. We know that there's going to be this character in this remake that is going to be a Chinese factory worker who commits suicide shortly after reprogramming a buddy doll to have no limitations. So we know how he comes to be, but we don't know why. Honestly, it just sounds to me like they're upping the technology factor. They're going to make Chucky way more digital. And
so instead of being a possession, it's now a technology, oh crap, AI issue.
Yeah. And the factory worker was like, oh, I'm having a bad day. Let's just take all the restrictions off this AI. And then it was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. So that's what we're left with.
I mean,
what's frustrating about this mostly is the fact that this is actually something that's been done before. You know, we saw this in Small Soldiers.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, what's most frustrating is it's been done, and B, it completely diverts from the original storyline of the movie.
Agreed.
Well, and what gets me, too, with the article that I... And there were a couple of articles this week that, like, I couldn't get to load, and so, like, I got a different source.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and so I don't remember if this is one of them or not. But, like, for me, like, what's weird about it is the original Child's Play franchise is still going on. There's still talks and plans. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are still talks and plans to have more of the original Child's Play movies. So why have something that is completely contradictory to the original? 15, 20 years after the last Chucky movie? Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Let's play around with the origin story a little bit. I don't know if I would still agree with it, but that's more acceptable. When it's still going on, I don't understand the rationale.
You've got two universes.
You're asking to confuse fans.
Yeah.
That's
Star Trek, like
the horror multiverse.
Yeah. That's like having a Batfleck movie come out at the same time as, oh, hey, here's a brand new Christian Bale Batman movie. No, that's not a thing.
Nobody wants any more Batfleck at all.
No.
But, yeah, I agree.
I still would want to see a solo Batfleck movie.
No.
I didn't.
I would also enjoy a Batfleck film.
I didn't hate it as much as I thought Batfleck. I would.
Affleck? Batfleck?
Yeah.
You're doing too much.
Tried too hard.
Let go.
So, anyway, moving on. So, there was a lot of talk. I don't know if you guys saw this, but, like, they weren't, like, official images, but there was a lot of, like, fan-made, like, whatever that I saw on my Facebook feed from a lot of different people hyping the season premiere for Game of Thrones to be in April.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry about it, but it's looking like it's going to be May of 2019 at the earliest. So, visual effects supervisor Joe Bauer said that the final season will be eligible for the Emmys in 2020. The cutoff for Emmy nominations is May 31st, so most, if not all, of the episodes are going to have to appear after that date, just to be part of it. So, and then he also did say, he said, quote, "I know I'm not doing anything else but Thrones until May of next year." So, the idea of the April premiere came from Maisie Williams, who had an interview back in January with Metro News. She said that, quote, "We wrap in December and we will air our first episode in April. That's a 4-month turnaround for these huge episodes." So she later was like, "No, I didn't say that," but whatever.
Whatever, Maisie Williams.
Yeah. So is what is. Which, I mean, Grant's, you know, and this is coming from somebody who doesn't watch Game of Thrones, so I know that it sounds insensitive, but, like, they said April, now it's May, it's one more month, it'll be okay.
I mean, I do watch Game of Thrones, and I'm not that worried about it, because I would rather them take a little bit more time and work on it and make sure this final...
Isn't that what George is doing, though?
Don't talk to me about George. I've had a very long day and very little sleep. Do not talk to me about George R. Martin today. I'm still mad that he was dancing at that party. Okay? I'm not over it yet.
You know, I was just going to say, I was like, at least you're not pulling a George R. R. Martin on this. It's like delaying it inevitably. Like, oh wait, no, it's gonna be June. No, sorry, did I say June? I meant August.
All right, guys, we filmed one more minute. Let's break. Episode 3 is in the can.
We just filmed the word "and."
That's what he writes, bastard.
So
I'm gonna get a voodoo doll. I think start poking it.
Well, maybe can you make the voodoo doll type fast?
Yeah, like that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sit at my desk and like move its hands. That way, I can also sort of control the story and make sure what I want happens.
Which, real talk, that's what we're really looking for here, right?
Usually, I'm selfish.
All right, guys, it's time for gut reaction.
Dang it!
I'm sorry. All right, guys.
I have no echoes on this end.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you still want to like pretend to echo? We can sure. Redo it.
I got this. All right.
Okay. All right, guys. It's time for
gut reaction. Action.
That was actually much better than the actual echo. I vote you do that all the time.
Well, it doesn't mute his microphone either.
That's true. I'm thinking we can still hear you.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
All around
I do what I can.
Well, we always lose Pickett during gut reactions.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. So we're going to start this week with Matt. You've got Galaga Chronicles.
Galaga Chronicles. So the famous video game is going to become an animated TV series. Roberto Orsi will executive produce. He's probably most famously known for co-creating Fringe and Sleepy Hollow for Fox. The animation for this, and yes, it is going to be an animated series, which they expect to run 12 episodes. The animation is going to be handled by Shadow Machine, who does Robot Chicken and BoJack Horseman. So just to get an idea of where that's coming from. There is no home. It has not been shopped to networks or anything, but they're planning on shopping to networks and streaming services. So that's coming sometime soon. I'm going to go thumb sideways on this one. I know that they just did Rampage as a movie with The Rock, and that video game had no plot. This video game has no plot. They're going to make one up. I mean, they did Battleship, which was mediocre at best. I'm just going to go thumb sideways.
For me, you're right. Galaga has no plot. But you know what? Pac-Man also didn't have a plot, and he also had a cartoon series. So why not? Galaga Chronicles have a thumbs up for me. Pick it.
I'm a thumbs up. Why not, right?
Tabitha.
I'm going thumb sideways. I have no horse in this race. I have no idea. So I'm excited that you are excited.
I'm not that excited. I just didn't want to
well,
take
I'm
away.
I'm like
from,
sort of excited.
Yeah. I just didn't want to take away from like fans of Galaga. I don't know.
You have to be honest with gut reaction. Gut reaction is about your gut reaction, not pleasing the people who are listening.
I know.
You were such a stopping the people pleaser. Stop
it. I created this.
I will shame you for no reason.
Lydia's not even here to keep track.
I will text her.
Tabitha. Shatner Claus.
Oh, God. Shatner Claus. Okay. William Shatner is releasing a new Christmas album. It's coming out on October 26th, just in time for Halloween. It's going to be called Shatner Claus. Because what else would he call it? It's going to be 13 songs and 12 collaborations with artists such as Brad Paisley and Iggy Pop.
I'm just thinking about the empty space that's going to be on this album.
glasses. Have you listened to him sing? Because he sings like that.
Merry Christmas to you and to all. A good night.
Yes. Part of me wants him to stop trying to make his music career happen, but the other part of me just really wants this to happen so I can laugh and laugh and laugh. So I'm going to them sideways.
Matt.
I think I broke Matt. He can't
talk. I have to go thumbs down. This should not happen at all.
You know, I'm going thumbs up. Now, he does... One thing that you didn't mention, he does have an original song on this one.
He does.
It's called One for You, One for Me, which I have no idea how that fits into Christmas, but whatever.
Shots of eggnog.
And that's the only one that's not a collaboration. But for me, Jingle Bells featuring Henry Rollins, Silent Night featuring Iggy Pop, and I just want to hear William Shatner sing Feliz Navidad. I don't care that he's doing it with Danny Bender. I don't even know who that is. I just want to hear him sing Feliz Navidad. So thumbs up 100%. Pick it.
I'm buying this, by the way. It's happening.
You can play it at the Christmas party.
There we go.
I give this a thumbs up. I want to hear this so bad.
Don't worry. I'm purchasing it. I have to.
It will be the soundtrack to the Christmas party this year.
Yes. I'll bring it with me. You want me to get it on vinyl?
Yes.
So, Pickett, you've got something about Amazon's new video service.
Yes. What is Amazon to do when they can't keep buying enough stuff and shows and stuff? They're going to put out a free, a TV app for the Fire TV or the Fire devices, whether it's the Stick, the 4K equipped dongle, or the Amazon Alexa enabled Fire Cube. So what they're going to do is they're going to put out a free service. You can watch shows. It'll have ads and all that crap. But it's free, and then that's kind of the kicker. You don't have to have a subscription to Amazon Prime or anything like that. It's just a free thing, so you can watch stuff. I give this a thumb sideways only because, honestly, it's just another thing for them to sell advertising with, and I have Prime and Netflix and all the other stuff, so I don't think I'd be using this very often, but it's something cool, I guess.
Tabitha.
I mean, it's Amazon. They have enough of my money. They have a fair share. Like, I'm tithing Amazon, basically. So, I'm gonna go thumbs down.
First church of two-day shipping. Matt!
That's how much I can believe in. Sign me up. I'm sold.
I just don't even know why this should be a thing, except for, yes, the advertising and the... I mean, the stuff that they're going to offer for free is probably going to be so minimal compared to what's available for Prime. I just don't see it being useful, so I'm going to go thumbs down.
Yeah. And Pickett, you said basically what I've been trying to think of with this anyway. It's just another thing. It's something that has started to bug me, just because of all the things that we have these days, whether it be Amazon Prime, which I realize this is kind of sort of separate from Amazon Prime, but still, you know, whether it's that or Netflix or Hulu or whatever. So I don't need another thing. I'm going thumbs down on this. So earlier this week, Tom Hardy has said that he has signed on to do 3 Venom films. Nothing really else to say with that. I'm giving this one a thumb sideways, just because I need to see the first Venom movie to see if I want more Venom movies. Pick it.
I'm in the same boat. Thumb sideways. I do have to see the first film before I can really commit to thumbs up or thumbs down.
Tabitha.
Same. I need to know that Tom Hardy can do this before Tom Hardy keeps doing this.
Matt.
I just have to agree with the rest of the group. Yeah, thumb sideways. Same reasons.
Okay. Tabitha, the new James Bond Aston Martin.
If we had an extra $3.5 million laying around, I would ask somebody to get me this for Christmas. The 1964 Aston Martin DB5 from Goldfinger is going back on sale. It will include some of the Bond gadgets, including a rotating license plate. It's even coming from the same factory that created the original DB5. They're only making 25. Like I said, it's $3.5 million. It's going to be newly constructed, but it's going to be built exactly like it was built in 1964. And compared to the fact that one of the original cars from the film sold for like $4.6 million in 2010, this is kind of a steal of a deal because it's brand new. It'll be out in 2020, but there's a caveat. Cars are not legally drivable on the roadway.
Oh, because they don't have the safety features and they're not
correct, and they're antique. Not like... Like, they're not, like, environmentally friendly. Yeah. Like, they don't meet the specifications for road driving. Legally road driving. So, it's just a pretty car to look at and drive around in your giant mansion that has enough room for that because you spent $3.5 million on a James Bond car. I love that this is happening, but I think it's very impractical, so I'm giving it a thumb sideways.
Matt.
I was 1,000% sold on this until you told me that they're not street legal. And that just ruins the whole point of it, because that would be why I would buy it, would be to drive it around.
Oh, yeah. You want to flip your license plate around while you drive past people.
Yeah, I lay down a smoke screen when people piss you off. Exactly. So I have to go thumbs down because it's not street legal.
Yeah.
If I'm paying $3.5 million for something, I don't want to drive it.
Right. But at least you could pay for the tickets.
True.
Yeah, same, and Tabitha, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. If I'm going to pay that much money for a car, I better be able to drive it down to Schnucks if I want to. Hashtag not sponsored. But yeah, the fact that I can't do it legally, no, thumbs down. Pick it.
Yeah, thumbs down all the way. I can collect a lot of things, you know, Harry Potter wands, rocks. But one thing I'm not going to collect just to have sitting around is a car that costs way more than it should.
Yeah. Thumbs down. Okay. Pickett, you're up next. What's up with the Windows 95 app?
All right. So, a lot like, I'm sure a lot of other people, I grew up using, Windows, anything before XP. And if you were one of those people, you grew up kind of learning how to use a computer with, like, Windows 95. And that was my first operating system that I ever really messed with. Basically, all we did was we, you know, played Minesweeper that nobody actually knew how to play. And then used Microsoft Paint. Well, they've decided to bring this app back, or bring the operating system back in the form of an app that you could put it on your computer, whether it be Mac or Windows, and just kind of run it within your current computer, so you can kind of play with it. Now, you'll get some of the original apps, like WordPad, Phone Dialer, MS Paint, and Minesweeper, and those will all work like you'd expect them to work, but they say, sadly, I say, you know, whatever, Internet Explorer is not fully functional, and it just doesn't load pages.
Well, is it now anyway?
It wasn't ever fully functional.
That's what I said. They said sadly. I said, yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of doing its thing.
It's just like old times.
So I give this a thumbs up, just on the sheer nostalgia aspect of it. I think it'd be fun.
Tabitha.
I just want to play with Microsoft Paint again. So thumbs up.
Matt.
I don't need any more blue screen of death. I'm going thumbs down.
This is a fun idea. I don't know that I would actually do it, but I'm going to give it a thumbs up. Speaking of Minesweeper, though, one of my claims to fame, I don't think I've ever told you guys this, but whatever. So there was one time, this was years ago, I was playing, I had a Minesweeper app on my iPod Touch. Yes, iPod Touch. And so I was playing Minesweeper in bed one night. And yeah, that sounded bad. Anyway, so I was playing Minesweeper in bed. And, like, I touched one button, cleared the board. I won in, like, less than a second.
That's impressive.
That's not fair.
I know. That's not fair. It was awesome.
I got
awesome.
Really, really good at that, but I had no idea what I was doing.
I for the longest time, I had no idea what I was doing, but I kind of finally picked up, like, how to play Minesweeper, but yeah. But anyway, this is completely detracting from gut reaction. This is supposed to go quick and not go off the rails, but, you know, hey, that's what I do.
When have we ever done that?
Right. So, yeah, so if I didn't say it, thumbs up. Matt, Uncanny X-Men number one.
So, we knew that Uncanny X-Men was coming back. It is coming back in November. It's going to be written by Ed Brisson, Matthew Rosenberg, and Kelly Thompson. The first issue is going to be double oversized, etc. It's going to be 72 pages, which is awesome. It is going to be $7.99. After that, the issues will go back down to $3.99. But that first issue is going to be $8. Double-sized or not, extra pages, $8 is a friggin' lot for a comic book. I have to go thumbs down just on the pure price point.
Yep. And yeah, and with that, because writer Matthew Rosenberg, he said that they're approaching it as if it very well might be the last X-Men story ever. I don't need for a comic book to cost me $8. I don't need for this to be like the biggest story ever, 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 ever.
That's what it always is.
I know. will I buy it? Yes. Will I be happy about it? No. But yeah, I am giving this a thumbs down, but it does lead to something more, like, because I know recently there was news, and sorry for going off the rails again, but like the first issue of the new Green Lantern, at least the first issue, I don't know if more, is going to be $5. And this is from DC drawing the line at $2.99
right.
comics. Whatever. Pick it.
I'm going to go thumbs down. I mean, I don't buy comic books almost ever. But if I did, I think if you're going to put out a bigger first episode than our first edition issue, I can't talk. If you're going to put a bigger first issue, you suck up that extra cost.
Yeah. Tabitha.
I mean, it would be one thing if they were just like charging you a little bit extra, but I feel like that's a lot extra, so I'm going thumbs down. Also, biggest story ever is just because they're trying to get you to buy it, because they're like, oh no, we need to charge a lot of money for this. What can we do? Oh guys, it might be the last X-Men story ever. Just kidding.
The most important X-Men story ever that may lead to a death that will be resurrected in like 2 to 3 years right. anyway, so... Cool.
Not exactly.
All right. Last story for gut reaction. So there is a original graphic novel that has been optioned to as a film by Legendary Entertainment by Pamela Ribbon and Kat Ferris. It's called My Boyfriend is a Bear. The description, it's Nora has bad luck with men. When she meets an actual bear on a hike in the Los Angeles Hills, he turns out to be the most romantic partner she's ever had. He's considerate, he's sweet, he takes care of her, but he's a bear. And winning over her friends and family is difficult. Not to mention, he has to hibernate all winter. Can love, true love conquer all? I mean... It would be one thing if this was the exact same story, but if Nora was, say, a deer or something, that'd be one thing. But with Nora being a human, it's like, hey, this promotes bestiality, and like, I'm not on board with that. And also, depending on where you go on the internet, My Boyfriend is a Bear might already exist. So
that's probably already a website.
So I'm going to have to give this one a thumbs down. It's... I just... No. No. Pick it.
Yeah, no, thumbs down all the way. That sounds like a terrible idea. I'm out.
Tabitha.
So a friend of mine read this, thinking it was going to be one of those, like, oh, he's been, like, magically turned by an enchantress into a bear, and they're going to fall in love while he's a bear, and it's going to be, like, a Beauty the Beast kind of retelling thing. It is not.
Spoiler!
He is indeed just a bear. He is a bear who does bear things. and makes fair sounds.
The whole thing just sounds unbearable.
Oh. Sorry, Pickett. Sort of. Lydia.
It's fair. I earned it.
Someone text Lydia.
I would just like to say, though, it is slightly unfair that I make one pun and I get shamed, but Mitch makes several.
It's worse when you do it. It's worse when you do it because you do it so infrequently that when you do it, it really brings attention to it.
That's fair.
Okay.
All right. So I retract my previous statement.
So what Tabitha is really saying is make more puns.
No.
No.
Okay, so.
Absolutely thumbs down all across the board.
Matt.
I can't even with this. Just thumbs down.
So My Boyfriend is a Bear. We'll be giving you the movie review of it when it comes out.
No, we
I'm
won't.
Tempted to read this. Like, I heard about it, and I heard like my friend talking about it, I thought, maybe.
I will not pay money for My Boyfriend is a Bear, but if it magically appears on my doorstep, I'll read it.
Nope.
So you're asking for it for Christmas, is what I'm hearing. I can get Shatner Glass to send it to you.
My Boyfriend is a Bear.
Oh, God. Shatner reading that as an audiobook. I'm down.
We need this audiobook. Yes.
Let's do that.
I might actually listen to it, but I won't read it.
So, anyway, moving on. So, we picked up a press release from Image Comics earlier this week. And it's for a new series from Scotty Young. It's called Middle West. Did you guys get to look at some of the art for this?
I did.
Yeah. It's going to launch this November. And Middle West is the story of Abel, who is a young boy who has to navigate the old land in order to reconcile his family's history. We only saw like the first, I don't know, like 4 or 5 pages, mm-hmm. something like that. But it looks really cool. It looks like a fun story. Also, anything that Scotty Young does, I can't wait. His new title, Bully Wars, mm-hmm. is coming out pretty soon. I cannot wait for that. So, I didn't even know that Middle West was going to be coming up, and then I saw that first, I think, like on his Instagram or something mm-hmm. like that, and then I saw the email regarding that, and I was like, oh, cool. So... okay, so real quick, we're going to come back to some comics here in a second. Pickett, we're going to move to you for a second, because Pickett's going to have to leave here pretty soon. Pickett, do you have time for 1 or 2 stories?
2.
2? Okay. Xbox One.
All right, so Xbox One. Microsoft has confirmed that they are going to start leasing Xbox Ones, not just like the lower quality Xbox One S, but also the Xbox One X, which, by the way, terrible differential between the two, the S and the X. It's almost hard to hear the difference, but neither here nor there. Basically, they're going to allow people to lease these for either $35 or $22 a month. And with that, what makes this actually a really good deal is with that you get an Xbox Live Gold account. Or a membership, rather.
Okay, so that might be the one saving grace is to get that
exactly.
included.
Also, it takes 20. It's 24 months, and I should have done the math on that ahead of time.
I don't
because matter. But it would turn out to be about $528 for the lesser for the Xbox One S, which in itself isn't bad. For a leasing situation, but like I said, with the Xbox Gold membership to get with that makes it kind of worth it, especially if you're buying your Xbox. Membership monthly.
I guess for me, I don't know how I feel about it. It feels kind of, I don't know.
Well, let me throw this out to you. All right, in the world that we live in, mm-hmm. it is near impossible to keep up with all the new game systems. I mean, you know, I only have the system I have out of necessity, because I was in the middle of like a series of games, and the last game they came out with, you needed an Xbox One for. And I had a 360. I wouldn't have 60 otherwise, because I just couldn't afford it. Well, this would make something like this really affordable who can't afford to spend, you know, all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said the only
other thing... It's just like they're doing with cell phones now. I mean, there was once a day, if you wanted a cell phone, then you paid the full price, or you paid still not very cheap, discounted price with the two-year contract. Everything's going to monthly payments now. All the companies are accepting monthly payments.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess I didn't really think about it that way.
Even with the Xbox Gold Live membership included, I think this might be a little bit more, I guess, appetizing if Xbox was still having the Red Ring of Death issues that plagued previous iterations. Then it would be then I don't have to worry about if this craps out on me. I don't have, you know, I didn't spend $500 on the system. I'm only paying $35 a month. So, I don't know.
And I didn't read anything about, like, any kind of, like, you know, if something happens to the device while you have it, is it covered under any insurance or anything like that?
Yeah.
Or if there's anything out there for that. But, I mean, that would be an upside. You know, I'm sure they've all got a warranty, but you still only, you're talking about 2 years while you're paying on this thing, yeah. So... And the first 2 years are never the issue with most of these systems. And if it is the issue, then...
Ruth.
If it is the issue, then you're getting a new one anyways.
So, moving on, Pickett, your last story so that you can get out of here. Coffee drones.
Yes, coffee. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, guys. You guys know this.
That is true.
For those of you who are coffee drinkers, there may be a special drone for you. And I'm talking to you, Mitch. I'm saying we get one of those pumpkin spice. And so what this is a drone that you can either to bring coffee, you can signal it, you send a smoke signal. It can read your face to see if you need coffee.
Always look like that. Though.
Yeah. It would just be constantly bringing me coffee, but I'd be okay with it.
There's six cups in front of you and only one is drunk.
It's like, oh, God.
Wait, the cup is drunk?
iOS coming out with, is put out the plans for this. You know, they're the ones really pushing for a coffee drone. But I think there's a lot of issues kind of out there. You know, the idea of a flying device carrying a hot beverage above you.
And would it still be hot by the time it got to me? That's my question.
Well, see, I don't need for my coffee to be, like, hot, hot, hot.
I need it to feel like Satan's soul is entering my body when I drink it. So,
Tabitha likes to drink lava. Okay.
Yes, and I take lava showers, too. I like to be
really that's a cool idea. Look, it's a cool idea. You know, like I said, it reads your face. It reads, like, you know, like signal. Something. Like I said, more importantly, gives you an app. But it's just, I don't know. And they also talk about, you know, eventually linking it to biometric data gathered for stuff like a Fitbit. I mean, there's a lot of things that could definitely help with this, but yeah, I don't know.
Like press a button on your Fitbit and like...
Instead of going for a run, you just need some coffee.
It just notices that your heart rate is slowed and your eyes are drooping and it's like, oh no.
The idea of a drone like sitting across the kitchen table, like staring at you, reading your face, kind of creeps me out, though.
Kind of like it.
My biggest question with this whole thing, though, is how do they keep up with demand?
Who's making the coffee?
That's exactly right. That's what I'm getting. And like
other drones,
where's the coffee coming from? Like, is there a brewer inside the drone? Is that a thing?
That's like a fine Keurig.
Much like I don't need to know how, you know, sausage is made, I don't need to know where the coffee is coming from, as long as it comes to me, and I don't have to do anything for it. Okay, cool. I'm in.
Mitch needs no details. He just needs coffee.
Exactly.
Mitch just wants his coffee to magically appear. Look, if they make something like this, but it brings bacon instead of coffee, I'm all game.
Bacon drone. Ooh, you can even have, like, you can have the propellers of the drone be bacon.
No.
No, because then it's either
I mean, that's a bad idea.
Like, floppy. Too crispy and it breaks, or it's not cooked enough and then they're just floppy.
And nobody likes floppy bacon.
Yeah, that's a bad plan.
So, anyways,
on that note, I'm going to get off here. It's been a great time, though. You guys have a good rest of the show without me, and I will see you guys next week.
All right.
Bye, Piggott.
See you, Piggott.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. So, anyway, so moving back to comics, we got a chance to talk about a couple or read a couple of different comics. I want to start off with Submerged number 2, which came out yesterday. You guys talked about Submerged number 1 a month or so ago, and made me really bummed that I didn't get to read it, you know, when you did. And so I had to read number 1 before number 2, just so I can kind of see where everything was going. And oh my god, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It is so good.
It's really good.
So the description for Submerged number 2, and this is from Vault Comics, by the way. So it says that as the worst storm in New York City's history crashes over its streets, Ellie's desperate search for her brother, Angel, takes her into the terrifying depths of the subway system. There she finds a lost, helpless child and is confronted with the stuff of her nightmares. Man, this... Well, I guess first off, like, what were your guys' thoughts about it?
I mean, I cried, so... Story of my life.
Was it with the dog?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Couldn't handle it.
Matt.
I was, like, issue 1 was so incredible. I couldn't wait for 2. And then when this email came in, I was like, my eyes lit up. I almost, like, sat down and read it immediately because I wanted to know. Like, I still kind of don't know where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. But I love the whole, the mythic quality to what's going on in the background in this subway. Mm-hmm. Like, that alone is enough to, like, keep me coming back for more.
Yeah. And for me, what I really loved, and we saw it a little bit in issue 1, but I feel like it was more pronounced in issue 2, was just the family dynamic. You know, it was you're getting flashbacks between, you know, like from Ellie's past to, you know, to now and everything. And it's really showing how her past is affecting her present. And in a really good way, I think.
It was so well done.
Yeah. So I definitely can't wait for issue 3. Don't want to spoil too much other stuff. But yeah, but like I said, it came out yesterday. So if you haven't had a chance to read it, definitely pick it up. Also, coming out next week from Lion Forge is Sellies number 4. This, guys, and I don't want to go into too much detail with this issue, because like I said, it's coming out next week. But Sellies might be one of my favorite Lion Forge titles. It's so fun, and especially if you've ever worked... Obviously, if you ever worked retail, but also if you've ever worked in a mall setting, you know, because you're also like it takes place in a cell phone store, but you have supporting characters who also work in the mall or shopping center or wherever they are, and so it's so funny to see that because you do form friendships with the guy that works in the shoe store across the way, or, you know, whatever, like your favorite barista at the coffee shop, or, you know, what have you. And that was one of the things that I loved most about working at the mall, when I did it years ago. But yeah, so with Sully's number 4, the description for this issue, Ray rebels from work and home when she calls in sick to join her friends at Seven Sails Theme Park's Shocktober Nights. But when Devin agrees to cover for Ray without Christian or Ray's parents finding out, things get scary complicated.
There's just every time there's like a scene, like an interaction with a customer, I'm like, yep.
You're right.
Yep. Been there. Done that. Yep. That looks familiar.
Also, like, I'm really loving Jerry's character. Like, he only pops up every now and then, but like,
just to do something weird and then go away again. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's gonna be me in like 10 to 15 years.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh.
I mean, it is what it is. but yeah, but Matt, what did you think of it?
I just love this. And yeah, it, like, there's been other media that has tried to capture what it's like to work retail, whether it's whatever the TV show was, Superstore.
Mm-hmm. Which,
you know, which I watched like one episode of, and it mm-hmm. was, you know, it had its moments, but like in general, this just, I don't know, it just is.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Tabitha, what did you think?
I love it. I love every single, like, I ended up like getting the rest of them on my own through an alternative source, and I love them. I think they're wonderful.
It's, yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it comes out next week. So if you haven't read any of them yet, definitely go back, read issues 1 through 3. They're, except for this issue ends on a cliffhanger, kind
mm-hmm,
of. But issues 1 through 3, mostly self-contained, mm-hmm. but they do, they're self-contained, but at the same time, they kind of build off of each other. But for sure, read 1 through 3. Do yourself a favor. Read those first. Pick this up next week. Also from Lion Forge, we're not going to talk about them, but yesterday, Incidentals number 11 and Kino number 9 came out, and next week, Noble number 11 came out. So if you've been following the Catalyst Prime, definitely be on the lookout for those. So Matt, tell you what, we've already kind of gone over. So we're gonna do one more story. Do you guys want to talk about the Anthony Bourdain comic? Do you want to talk about Comicsgate? Or do you want to talk about The Mountain?
I don't want to talk about that. I want to never talk about that. Never, ever. Ever, never, ever.
I don't know. I really actually kind of don't want to talk about the Anthony Bourdain one.
There we go. Okay. Neither of us want to talk about the things we submitted, so it's all on you.
Fair enough. Okay, so we're going to talk about Comicsgate, and I guess it's fitting that we do talk about something like this towards the end of the show, because it's something that, frankly, makes me angry. And I'm going to try to control my language so that I don't have to mark this explicit, because that is one extra step that I'm going to have to do, and I don't want to.
So many buttons.
I do, right? And this kind of topic pushes my buttons. And yet, you didn't shame me.
I mean, to be fair, my hands are really tied. My hands are literally tied to my headphone cord. So you're welcome.
So this is something that we've talked about a while, or a couple times, mm-hmm. throughout the past mm-hmm. year or so, where it's been kind of a pushback with comic books whenever they try to, whether it's introduce a diverse character or change a character, you know, whether it means making making Falcon Captain America, mm-hmm. or turning Iceman gay, or, you know, what have you. That came out poorly, but you know what I mean. But there's been this push and to basically just, you know, like, call these creators out for being too progressive or for being social justice warriors or whatever. So it kind of came to a head this past weekend when people were harassing Marsha Cook, and I use the word people lightly in this instance. Marsha Cook is the widow of illustrator Darwin Cook, who passed away, was it last year?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Anyway, so Marsha Cook, last week, she returned to social media. It's been 2 years. And she spoke out against pro-Comicsgate individuals who shared a 2010 interview of Darwin where he said, quote, "I don't want to see characters who have been straight for 60 years become lesbian overnight because the creators are too stupid to come up with something decent." Okay. And she clarified what he meant. And I understand what he means. He was against the idea of them making these characters diverse in whatever way you mean for it to be, just to be...
For the sake of diversity.
For the sake of diversity, to, you know, just for the sake of a sale, mm-hmm. or, you know, to...
appease someone.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. and Marcia, you know, argued that Darwin championed diversity and that he hated misogyny, homophobia, racism, all that kind of things. So, and also she called comics pro-comics gate individuals man babies, which I absolutely loved.
Fantastic.
It absolutely is.
So excellent. Correct.
So, it started off, let me see. So it started off with Tom Taylor, who has been on DC's Injustice. He did last year's Justice League Power Rangers crossover, and he is the creator of the Netflix series The Deep. So he tweeted, I believe comics are for everyone. There is no excuse for harassment. There is no place for homophobia, transphobia, racism, or misogyny in comics criticism. From that, you had multiple comics creators either copying that tweet or modifying that tweet, you know, a little bit. But you had people like Jody Hauser, Tim Seeley, Jason Latour, Trini Howard, Bill Sienkiewicz, Greg Pak, just a bunch of different people. Also, Tom King had a different version of the tweet, and I'm going to try to find it real quick. While I'm looking for it, just kind of, I mean, what are your thoughts on this whole Comicsgate issue?
I get why what he said was misinterpreted, because it came out a little aggressive and a little backwards. But at the same time, I agree. You can't have diversity just for diversity's sake, especially when you're taking characters who have had these developed backstories for so long and then just changing this very important aspect of them instead of creating new characters for people to identify with. You see a lot in not just comics. I mean, you see it in young adult literature especially, like where you pick up a book and every single person is diverse, and I get that we live in a diverse society, but there's going overboard to sell your book, and there's writing the characters you see in your head when you're writing it.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, we've talked about this in regards to like numerous like different stories. Like when there was rumor about James Bond becoming Jane Bond. You know, it's mm-hmm. like don't do it just for the sake of, again, trying to appease somebody. Like if there's a reason, if it's logical, if it's well thought out, that's a different story. But don't just do it for the sake of trying to be diverse and inclusive. Like, there are ways that you can create new inspirational characters that are diverse, that champion those causes without
changing someone's whole life story.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I see that, and I agree. To play devil's advocate a little bit, and not really devil's advocate, but at the same time, like, okay, so yes, we can absolutely create more diverse characters, but those, you know, characters that are created to be diverse, because they're so new, they don't always have that kind of staying power. Let's take Simon Boz, for example, he's a Green Lantern, but he was introduced and then kind of fell off the face of the earth for a couple of years. And now he's back. But even still, when you think of Green Lantern, you don't think of him.
No.
You know? There is something to be said for making an already established character diverse, whether it's somebody taking on the mantle or... again, to use Iceman to, you know, for him to, you know, come out as gay after all these years. There is something to be said for that if it makes sense to the story.
Right.
If there's a reason behind it, sure, 100%. Because, again, like having a black Captain America, says a hell of a lot more than having a black guy named Falcon.
Right. Mm. And I mean, I get when it's like a situation like that where Falcon took over the role of Captain America. I don't have a problem with that at all in any shape or fashion. But I have a problem when they're like, we've had this character who's up until this point essentially been closeted. And now we're saying it's okay. And I think that's wonderful. But at the same time, those are your only kind of characters.
Right.
I don't have any that are just out of the gate. I'm out. I'm this. I'm that. Whatever.
Right.
It's these people that are like, I've been around for 20 years. Hey, guys, guess what? I have that problem.
But that's the thing. There are those characters that have been created to be gay or, you know, like, or Muslim or whatever. Right. With some exceptions, like Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, those characters who are created diverse are kind of lost in the shadows. They're right. Like, they push them for a while, like, hey, these guys are awesome, and then they fade away. I guess Miles Morales may be another example, because he did start off in the Ultimate Universe, and now he's, you know, now he's kind of on his own or whatever. But, all that said, I found Tom King's tweet, which, like I said, it's a kind of a variation of the other ones. And then after this, we're kind of going to wrap things up. So Tom King, he said that comics aren't for everyone. Created by the children of immigrants, it is the medium of the outsider and the outcast, the nerd who won't fit in. We exist, we thrive, because we recognize and amplify the voices of those who must struggle mightily to be heard. We say, I'm here. He followed that up with a with a couple panels from Batman, where, and I'm not going to read everything that Batman's saying, but but you see Batman, you know, he's like, he's down on the ground, he's broken, he's bloodied, you know, whatever, but he's getting back, you know, getting back on his feet, and the last panel he just says, I'm still here. And to me, that's what needs to be said to all these, to quote Marsha Cook, these man babies. You know,
I love that so much.
I mean, you know, like, yes, just because, you know, if you don't like the way that something is being done, then have that be the catalyst for why you create something.
Right. And you change,
you know, and that kind of goes to something that we didn't talk about. That's one thing that Oscar Isaac even said about to the haters for The Last Jedi. Like, okay, use that hatred to create something that you enjoy.
Yep.
That's fine. That is a constructive way to deal with whatever it is that you're going through. But don't threaten and, you know, berate and, you know, all these things to these people who are still people.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So, anyway. So. All right, guys. That is all the time that we have for tonight. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, or where we'll be posting news throughout the week. Also, while you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, don't forget to step inside the squared circle for the Sleeper Hold on YouTube, and be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us at The Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week. Everybody, say bye.
Bye. Bye.